Yo.
Blog Talk Radio.
Inspiration early in the day. Hi, welcome to Masonic Effects. We are on the air on a voluntary basis, talking about things that are part of the broad brushstrokes that go through the Masonic thought and around it. And this is a place where we can think and approach our sense of being and purpose and who we are as people with some degree of safety, I think. Some degree of safety, not meaning any harm to the universe and the world out there. There's enough of that going around. People damaging their souls, being angry at us and being angry with others. Today, we have a really, I think, a captivating commentary, and we're going to, and there'll be a time of reflection. I've curated some music to go along with it, and that brings to mind some really something that I have to say to listeners. Thank you very much. Your sincere comments and responses have are really mean quite a bit to me and to us here, and we are overwhelmed. Thanks, but I think it's not so much the us that you're talking about. I think it's the ideas that we bring forward and the way we bring those things forward. And I don't think I've ever had an original thought in my life. I can't really want to be that bold to say that I'm the first to ever say anything. I wouldn't do that. That's kind of shameful in a way. But it's reaching out that's more important. The purpose of the show was to do that. So we want to acknowledge listeners from Brazil and from India and from France. Thank you very much, Russia. Thank you. We're always a pleasure. And it means a lot. Britain, sort of have to admit that whoever you are, whatever you're doing, it gives a ring of authenticity to our efforts here. This isn't where we find offense, but I'm sure that there are muscular types that can. You can find offense with just about anything going on, but not to be dismissive. This is a bit of a departure in some ways because it's taking advantage of a relatively new technology. You remember the influences, if I'm thinking about, always thinking about why this came into being, the order, it's the same, it's not about a calendar. I'm not too interested in calendars and things like that. It's the birth of an idea, a birth of a process that happens, that has to happen, you know, listen to me, has to happen in the minds of what I refer to as true Masons. I know it serves a purpose for many of us to be enjoy the pomp and circumstance. I think that's I'm not going to suggest or criticize that, but their masonry, to for anything to last 500 years or so, you know, these processes or more, requires more than pomp and circumstance. That's like saying we wouldn't be talking about the Druids if all that existed, well, you know, if their devotion was based solely on their ritual. They had this oral knowledge, this knowledge, and that was deliberately stamped out by the Roman armies, as we know. One of those stains on the conscience of human history, I think. Not that it is what it is, it's an ongoing loss. And we know that by the result, the indications that are left. Remarkable. Remarkable. But today, you and I tend to have that reborn notion in our heads. The potential for whatever it was that connected the dots. Maybe it was the amount of death that happened in Europe from the Black Plague in the 1600s. Is that, maybe that's it? It would certainly be. If you thought that, you know, whole cities and towns and peoples were dying off from a disease, and the response to the disease, initially it was, you know, along with cleaning up the corpses, that is not only macabre, it's a harsh business, but necessary business. But to think about something that could spread without knowing why or how, so there was no defense against it. We found that what we had to face was that prayer alone didn't stop anything. The despair, perhaps in some way the fear for a moment, but always the lingering question until what did we discover was about sanitation, wasn't it? Sanitation. And still, we couldn't see the cause. Now we can see. We have tools. We have the equipment to allow us to see these disease processes happening and entering. We know how they enter the human body. And we know that certain of these bacteria have just assault the immune system of mammals like us. Anyway, it is a telling part of history. And is it just out of memory that an order should be established that emphasized and embraced the science and the arts? The arts, the beauty of the beauty of existence, the world, an expression of our humanity and existence that goes beyond our thought, goes beyond our words. The arts speak in that sense to people regardless of what language they hold or whether they're literate or not. There. It's out there. It's out loud. Was that an influence? I tend to think it would be remarkable if it wasn't. It would be remarkable if that kind of chaos and fear didn't force good people to the point of questioning, is that all there is? There must be something. How did we preserve our sense of agency? Our agency, how do we preserve that when the peril was all around us? And I don't know, how do we grieve somebody else when we're fearful of our own death from something that was painful and horrible at the time and still is? And we have today our own contemporary versions of the Black Death. I don't know if you could say there's any honor in being able to kill hundreds of thousands of people at a stroke. Somehow I just don't find it. Especially today, after a period of remembrance, what galvanizes the peoples of the world? Imagine the horrors of battle. May hear the stories from the letters found from soldiers of the First World War that said nothing, you know, one that really resonates. Nothing could prepare you for this hell. Today, we're finding that history is being enlarged. It's being new dimensions are being added to it. The role of women, long unacknowledged for a lot of reasons that don't really hold up today. As we hold it out at arm's length and re-examine them, it was wrong at the basis of it all. When we get over the anger and we get over the self-loathing and we get over the ego that says, well, that was a different time and I wasn't there, so I feel no guilt or responsibility. That's a shallow statement for a person of depth, a person of commitment, a person of faith, as it is for somebody to be judging. Don't forget, just as we're judging, making judgments, other people are making judgments about us. And what happens when those judgments are based on their shallowness? Well, if we want to be, if we want to push back, we can always use these excuses. We can always find good excuses. But Masonry teaches us to go beyond that, to be the bigger person. Go beyond. And that's where we begin to act and where we begin, our behavior begins to be influenced by our principles. When we can go beyond what's justified, what's warranted, and do the right thing. Even when everybody around is criticizing us for it or citing particularly that we're weak because we don't react. I've even heard person in North America, you know, it doesn't matter, one person's opinion, it doesn't speak for a lot of people. Maybe it's influential. This person happened to say, you know, if a thousand people say it, it must be true. Well, yeah, the Agora has always been prone to these short-sighted populist movements. We murdered Socrates, didn't we? Yeah. Out of chaos, we put to death a great mind. And history, what's the lesson? If you have insight, to keep your mouth shut? Or that even when the multitudes are all calling for the blood of somebody, time will judge what the accuracy and purposefulness of those deeds. And always, it's not always that the mob, that the marketplace thinks that they're right, it's that often they're wrong. And when we begin to think with our heart instead of our mind. The idea, I think, one of the Impressionists said, was to think, follow our heart, and then engage our mind. I like that. Here's a little welcome. I hope that's a good welcome for everybody. And around the world, we're always looking for those corners where there's a Mason that needs to be able to have a chit-chat, wants to be able to be contemplative. Remember, this is a dish best savored when you're in the mood. You don't always want that a pâté, do you? No, I don't. Sometimes I want to it with my morning coffee. I admit it. And sometimes having a bit of bittersweet chocolate with my scotch just seems right. But there are other times when it's the me. So you choose. Here you have that gift to join us. Join these other listeners. Reach out and know that they're there and they would be interested in you and you would be interested in them and you would be patient with them and hear them out and they with you. And that you would be able to disagree as polite company, and that you would encourage the other person to expound on their ideas so that you and they would with you to examine the differences. And that's what defines you as human beings. And from that, realize that the uniqueness that comes of that is you. Is you. The beauty of it all. And that remains with you and energizes us, as I can attest to my age, with a youthfulness that doesn't stop until you decide. If you decide that you've got enough ideas, and some people do, I tend to think that they're not like us, they decide that they've reached a certain age and all the ideas that they need are crammed in there and they just can't handle anymore. Now remember, my goodness, we're not all of the same ability. We have to be a bit generous, don't we? And if you're a thinking person, you look around and you see thoughtlessness around you, do you ever tire of it? Well, yeah, you became a Mason. Do you ever tire of the thoughtlessness and insensitivity of our fellow beings? Well, the way we cope with it isn't by letting that affect us and our lives, but by realizing through philosophy that there is something that makes us strive. That moment, we can't tell whether the epiphany, no pun intended, will come tomorrow for that lout. And for those that I saw, I find it kind of funny these days. Some of the things I just have to laugh at. And I think Masonry allows us in that own way to put it all in perspective, put the pain in perspective, and help us use our sense of humor to keep some balance and health. Anyway, life is more beautiful when you can at least understand yourself in that greater context. Here's a little, speaking of that, this is something by an artist, Pat Metheny. I think some of you will know the name. And this does have a resonance. It's called How Insensitive. Thank you. Really, the emphasis on that, you know, acquired taste. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Always an acquired taste. Pat Metheny. How about a little, just to set the mood. And I know. It's a bit of shameful of me to tie music to the themes of the Masonic effects. Just in case you missed it, you know that in 1674, on the 10th of November, the Dutch gave New York City to the English in exchange for Suriname. Yeah, you didn't realize that, I dare say. It was also the date that the painter and Freemason William Hogarth was born. On that date, November 10th. If you don't know the name, Hogarth, you can do a little bit of research, and I think you'd be pleased with the kind of effort. He was a bit critical and outspoken, but, you know, his claim to fame, he may, it is claimed, be one of the first or the first Mason to have been raised. You find that kind of an interesting thing. And on this date, Albert Einstein entered his second paper on relativity, 1915. Yeah, it's November 11th, you know. This is interesting things that happen around us. I don't see, those are just little thought teasers. Here's do you have a beverage in hand? Hope you're sitting back. I like to think of you all in overstuffed leather chairs, one of those nice recliners where you can put your feet out in front of you and you've got a remarkable beverage that you're able to sip, whether that's a hot cup of tea or you're coming back from the football matches and with an extra cup of Bovril or you're drinking a beer, you're sipping a beer, a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon or something like that. Anyway, or your morning coffee. Answers as choices, Masonry as hegemony. In case you forgot, it's influence. We're really talking in the simplest terms about influence. Mention of the life journey has been found by anthropologists and sociologists in various locations from diverse cultures. enough to suggest common awareness may be something embedded in our DNA. An indication of what some would surmise is our ancient unexplained mind. If there is one single key to understanding that journey, or many, Masonry may have been benefiting and trading on that universal belief. Is life predestined, for example? Today, except with some outliers, astrology is mocked, not so in ancient times, when our oldest cultures relied heavily on it to explain what otherwise was beyond reason. We replaced, in a sense, the Dark Ages, as we underline in notions of the chaos of superstition and the stability and safety of reason. Belief is very, very powerful state of mind. And we know many great thinkers have been able to combine, men and women, have been able to combine faith and reason, belief and science. What is it they know that we don't? We do not. It is a comforting metaphor that many people accept the great architect of the universe has created life with a purpose in mind for each of us. To make this work, we tend to ignore the premise that the great architect is genderless and beyond a human capacity to define the divine. The great architect of the universe becomes a man, a boy, a son, a human. Really? I thought this notion was genderless. Yet, the great architect is beyond what the human mind can conceive, if it's because the human mind is not the God state. So in our awareness, we separate out, we distinguish. And here we are defining something that is beyond us to define. Deists like me, I don't need the miracles to have to believe in a higher power, to great architect. Deists like me were influenced by Professor Einstein, who it is said witnessed nature as proof of the existence of the great architect of the universe. Of course, I like symmetry that includes chaos. In that sense, all Masons should use Occam's razor. Little teaser, you all know Occam's razor, but think about that. All Masons should use Occam's razor. Here's a little something from, I think you'll like this. I hope. Asami Kato. Listen to enough of it, I have to admit. I thought you might appreciate that voice. Really beautiful. A pipe, say, wouldn't you say? Just amazing. Anyway, enjoy. Here's something I, continually pulled to try and use voices that go quite beyond to explain. Explain them. Sit back and listen to a bit of poetry. This is from Alexander Pushkin. Why Pushkin? Well, you'd have to read it for yourself. Read a little bit about his life and his purposes, and then read a little sample of poetry. Poetry, I think, is, I agree, that poetry is helps to define, it's like dipping into the soul of the world. Something about it that just I'm sitting here with a very old copy of the work of Robbie Burns that was handed down to me from my grandfather on his death, and it means a great deal. And it surprised me that he was a fan of Byron and Burns. Surprised and delighted me, just truthfully delighted me that. And he's the standard. He is a standard, a very great influence on me, I think. He's a standard that I have often used when I see somebody from humble means being self-deprecating. I can't do it because I find that there's almost a resentment because I think, well, here's a fellow born on an island off the coast of Canada, and he was a man that far beyond, far more interesting than you can ever imagine, and he was an interesting guy to start with. This is a poem by Pushkin called The Cart of Life. I hope you like it. Though it is hard, think about that path, on that path of the journey. Oh, life's journey, blah, blah, blah. We go on the life's journey. Then we don't usually tell our entered apprentices what the heck that means or how to follow it. Well, some put a cart on that path. What do they bring with them? Well, I think most of us, you're walking on that path, who've got a cart tucked in behind you. It's baggage. It's baggage. That's where you just start to fall into this overwhelming sense of overthinking everything. That's toxic. It's destructive. It's destructive to do, but we all do it until we come to grips and understand what it's like. You want to feel that kind of misery, that emptiness that comes from overthinking. You're just shredding an idea. It's over. Move on. You're quite capable of handling whatever it is that you're overthinking, but instead of emphasizing that, instead of using our mind palaces, we like to dwell and savor that dish, don't we? Well, have we not learned very much? Even we're always cautious around Masonic effects. Savor it. It's when you have the appetite. If you don't go near us. Don't go near us. This will mean nothing. It's like running through an art gallery. Why bother? So you can check it off. Oh, I was at the Hermitage looking at my watch. doesn't that? You sit at a lodge meeting and something really stunning is going on, and you see somebody looking there, sitting there impatiently. Now, I know they may be needing to get home to give their loved one their medication. I know there may be some urgency to their life, but at the time, I'm a weak person, and I'm thinking, oh, why do that to yourself? You have the priority in the lodge is the working and the process of the lodge. And the work of you and I is to pull out the best aspects. Ignore the overthought, worn out reasoning, the tedium, the boredom, the poor quality of work. You have to rise above it all the time. That is what it is. You accept it and then you move on. And you do it not because you have to. You do it when all the rabble are saying, are you crazy? Come on back into the muck with the rest of us. You do it because not out of arrogance or impertinence, but because you're able to use your beliefs, use your principles of philosophy to rise above it. And then you do that, you would think, Graham, this is a fool's paradise. Why do it? Because doing that, repeatedly doing it the first time is a bit amazing. You feel ashamed and ridiculous and perhaps bitter if all you know is to clench your fists and grit your teeth and be angry. I know you, the big stupid boys do that a lot, don't they? Yes, when they don't know any better, because they never allow themselves to fall into a conversation of any degree of intimacy. Often, you know, if you can't reason things through and you're a bit loudish, well, you want to avoid these kind of conversations. Though it is hard, says Pushkin, the earthly load, the cart is easy in its move, the restless coach time on road will not get off his bench above. In early morn we take our places, we glad to break our empty head and leaving leisure for the races, we cry, go on, you idler, damned. At noon, our bravery's diminished. We have been tossed and more afraid of slopes, steep and ravines, peevish, and cry, be easier, you brat. The cart rolls in the former fashion by evening. We have used to it. Wait for nightly lodgings. Doze, patient, and time tends horses to full speed. You know, sometimes you get it. Sometimes when you listen to it, you just get it. What's that about? You just get it. It's all right there. Be easier, you brat. I've passed that. I've passed the noontime. And now time. Time tends horses to full speed. Yeah, give me a little bit of a break. I catch my breath and then I'm back. Better than I ever was. And I was never that great in the first place. This is music from Reykjavik, the jazz festival in 2015, Sunugundlags. It's a live performance, which is the, I think, amazing way to enjoy jazz. Thank you. know, not only did they qualify for World Cup, and not only did they give us the volcano salute, but they're more than Bjork. Here's Suna Gunnlaugs. Fabulous. I like what she's done with that tune, don't you? Anyway, it makes us remember that that we are islands in the mind, and each one of us is an island out there in a great ocean of understanding and purpose and connectedness. And we have the lessons. Let's just remember, as you go about your business, that what the crowd says around us and what the authorities say is not all. Listen here, don't believe anything that comes out of Graham here. Galileo Galilei, remember? After his recanting, remember, this is a man of science, and we want to remember him that way. So he recanted that the earth moves around the sun. He did that in 1632. That wasn't the purpose, you know. The point was, everything revolves around the earth, right? And the religious authorities at the time convicted him of this heresy for saying this. But he also did say, but it does move. The earth, it does move. Remember that. A little lesson. Are we any different today? Is there any one of us that couldn't be challenged? Oh, well, we all try to cheat the Grim Reaper by, you know, we have these formulas. And in our mind, you know, we're learning how to, we have these. For some, it almost seems like a competition. We want to eat a certain, we have the ability not only to survive and eat, but to eat in a particular way that gives us some comfort that we're doing something better for ourselves, or we're living a healthier life. And, well, the Greeks taught us mind, body, spirit. Every day we need to exercise those, and we need to be mindful. Masonry does that for us. It touches us on the shoulder. And all it is not like this foreign body. It's like something inside of us. This is in our best interest. And we simply ask the question, what are we doing right now? What are we doing right now? Well, we have transcended a great deal of difficulty. We are going to, and temporarily, and we are going into a period where our follies are and some of the lingering superstitions are going to be confronted. Global warming? Well, here in Canada, we have a whole area in the Arctic that was frozen for a long time. Frozen even for since the 16,000 years ago, we were covered with this great layer of ice. It was about 6 miles thick, you know? Anyway, we have to now face that this is hummingbird wings, butterfly wings. The heating of the earth is not solely any one artifact. Yeah, some of it has to do with atmospheric and natural occurrences that we can't control, but we're adding to it. Now, we are thinking, well, the general pundancy is that we're not to blame. We recently in this country had a prime minister who banned the release of information of our scientists. This is, you know, the 21st century. Can you imagine? That's why I wanted to bring this up from the 16th century. You know, Galileo was banned, you know, censored. That's how mediocre our progress is. We have to be careful. We have to be careful with it. Either we think of our environment as a delicate balance, or we think of it as the playground for us, that we're made as the higher power and we control all of the life around us. Wow. The notion that any one of us doesn't affect the rest is a bit ridiculous. We do better when we're in groups. Masonry is a demonstration of that. We also know that as the permafrost melts, it's releasing hydrocarbons. It's releasing more methane and carbon material that contributes to the greenhouse effect, that where the heat from the sun can't bounce back out into space, but is contained. Twice as much material is contained in the permafrost that's now melting as exists in the atmosphere right now. So this morning I was reading a little earlier when I got up about the effects of antibiotics and how rapidly we are genetically mutating. We're becoming more and more resistant, as we know that. So what that does is it sort of helped put me into a different mindset. Oh my goodness, I've got, you know, my own ego. I have to live a fearful life and overthink it. And oh my goodness, if I don't, then there's something wrong with me as a human being. Or there is a risk. The risk that, you know, we can't proceed with organ transplants or joint replacements or treatments of cancers that affect the immune system, because we won't be able to suppress infections. Now, remember, we know what happens when we know what life was like in the good old days, before we had that capability, before Fleming came along. Jennifer Fleming, yeah? Anyway, we know these things. So to think that we've become immune, super beings, really, do you think history is going to be kind to that sense of us? I doubt it. I really doubt it. But all this is doing is, we'll have those that will shriek and pull their hair out and run around like children. And then there'll be some reasonable people in the background. You can run around and be emotional and distraught, but that doesn't change the nature of the world. It just makes us look like fools. Sorry if it offends, but it does. Reasonable people will look at it and think that we are still humans, and the great unknown is around us and always has been, and that what we make of life is what we make of life. And that at any one moment, we can become fearful and destructive. That's a choice. We can become losers. That's a state of mind. Or we can prevail and we can carry on with the dignity that we believe the human state deserves and warrants. And have we progressed? Well, today we are still in exciting, interesting, and changing times. We're not a boring lot. This whole process of accessibility to information is influencing the way we think about ourselves. And we're coming up with answers. We can feel weakened and overwhelmed and put our head in the sand. I just make it all go away. Don't listen to any of this stuff. Or we can be more selective. If you've heard, do you listen to the same song every day that you wake up? Do you read the same poem? Are you that stuck or are you doing that because you're examining something? Is there purpose to what you're doing? Well, some wake up with a sense of curiosity. What's today going to do? Well, we don't know. We have a sense that there's some predictability to it, but do we know that? We understand that, but we also don't know that. But Masonry confronts us along this journey's path with our card of baggage behind us, that whatever happens, we have the common, we have the sense that we're going to be able to manage it. And that in truth, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. That we'll rise above it and we'll handle it. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Freemasonry and women and the paradox of the Enlightenment. Whoa, just to round off the show. We're running out of time. Here's Tom York. This is a live performance. We better get it together. We're coming up to Christmas, aren't we? It's the 316th day of the year. There's only 49 days left. Get it together. And enjoy this Christian celebration for what it is, what it can be. Thank you. Teaser. We'll leave off with this. We'll pick it up next week when you're back. This is some material by Margaret C. Jacob. Sheltered from the sight of the profane and in the home of Brother P. Chevalier on the 23rd of July, 1755. The lodge having been opened, the resignation of three brothers named was accepted. And no brother within Masonry objected to this. Nevertheless, there was unanimous regret on the part of the brothers. Most Masonic lodges did not meet in private homes. We'll pick this up next week. Thank you so very much for joining us. I look forward to being with you again and experiencing those acts of random Masonic kindness. It's great to have you here. Been interesting. This is a Hunhu tool. You may not have heard about this group. If you haven't, here's a little taste. Thank you for tuning in. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. See you soon.